What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to the Absolutely Not Podcast, where we do the most and the least at the same damn time. I'm your host, Heather McMahon. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Absolutely Not Podcast. I'm your girl, Heather McMahon. Great to have you here. Excited to bring on my guest here in just a moment, Kate Kennedy of the Be There in 5 podcast. She's great. She's a really smart, funny female. I enjoy following her on the tweets and the TikToks. It's our 1-year anniversary of her inviting me on to go on her podcast. So I said, hey, girl, please come on mine. She's a hoot. She's a holler. We're going to giggle. She's a wordsmith, though. I will say she's so like highly intelligent. When I talk to her sometimes, I'm like, God damn, Kate, just say the word cunt. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry I use that so freely, but you know, I'm like, Kate, you're just very smart, which is what I need. I need to surround myself with smart women in my life, because I'll tell you what, little update. I've just fucking had it this week. You know, I am richly blessed. I know this is a hard year for everybody and I'm in no position complaining. But what's been a wild realization for me is how many hoops I've had to jump through recently and get yeses from men in order to just do what I need to do, which has really just fucking set a fire up my ass. Okay. And I mean it. You know, update, got denied for a lease on a car. Who the fuck knows why? Rick? Y'all, I'm transparent with y'all. These are the honest conversations we're having. Is my credit great? Not great, but it's good. Good to get a car lease. I'm just at this moment right now where I've had to constantly ask men for permission to do what I need to do. And I'm just about to take a fucking checkbook and just buy this fucking thing. I was told to lease a car through my production company so that way, you know, it's a tax write-off. It's smarter to do that because I literally need it to go to work. But apparently, because my business is fresh, and my personal credit isn't a 899. I'm getting told no. I'm just fucking fired up. I just got the email before I started recording this, and I just got my literal tits are smoking. I'm so pissed. And listen, I know about fucking credit, guys, because let me tell you something. My father owned one of the biggest credit bureaus in the Southeast. He basically invented the online credit report, the software for it, okay? That's what he fucking did. Did I maybe fuck my credit a little bit, take a dip? When he died and I just bought things to fill the void in my deep, dark soul? For sure. Did I build it back up when I started making money? Yeah. Am I savvy? Yeah. So I don't know why it just fucking burned my fucking biscuits that some dude named Rick's like, you've been denied. Y'all, this is just my life though. It's stay fucking humble. I'm being so transparent with y'all. I know if you listen to the podcast, you really know every in-depth thing about my life. You're not just like an Instagram Tatiana. You're like, no, bitch, I'm invested weekly. And I know you've been wondering what the car saga has been. I picked out my car. I got excited. And now I'm just like, fuck it. What do you need? What do you need to pay the entire lease up front? I wanted to buy the car. I could buy 10 of the cars. And that's not me humble bragging. It's a really hard year for a lot of people. The irony of all of this is where a lot of people are, I was for like 5 years, 2 years ago. Do you know what I'm saying? I was pulling out coins out of a couch in my mom's basement to get a burrito bowl at Chipotle. And God bless me, he set me up for success. I had a strong year last year. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to reward myself, get a little whip. I've been so fucking financially savvy, smart. I was like, I'm not going to go for something flashy. I'm going to get out there, check the air pressure on the tires. You know what I mean? I'm going to get something with the Consumer Reports, you know, 5 stars. And then I said, fuck it. I've worked my ass off. I'm going to get what your girl wants. And they denied me. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm so fired up right now. I actually have to go meet my quote unquote financial advisor. You know, once you get like finally like one decent job, they're like, hey, somebody's got to tell you what to do. And I love him. I'm not Scott. If you're listening, I fucking love you. You know, I love you. But I warned him. I texted him. I said, we're going for lunch. You better order a bottle of Rombauer Chardonnay and a burger with fries with extra aioli on the side because your girl's hungry and thirsty. Riddle me this. If I got to fucking send a titty pic to this guy named Rick so he'll approve me for my vehicle, I'll fucking do it. I don't care. It's just been one of those weeks where I'm tired of asking dudes for permission. And you know, I'm not a man hater. I've got a great partner in my life, Jeff. He's fantastic. I have wonderful producers that are men that I work with. Like I'm not angry in that. I'm just angry that I work my fucking ass off and I got to wait for some guy named Rick to email me fucking back to tell me you've been denied. I wanted to buy the car in the first place, but all these other men told me, lease it, be smart. You probably want something new in 3 years. Da 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 da. Yada yada yada. My dead father, I know, is rolling over in his grave. He's like, bitch, I told you. You go in there with cash, you show a little titty, show a little leg, get yourself what you want. I did it by the rules and I got denied. So stay humble. I'm about to get Kate on here, but I said I was not even going to bother her with this because like I just feel like I'm in a really dark, angry place. And listen, I'm going to figure it out. You know what I mean? I'm going to go to him and be like, what do you need? 6 months up front? You need baked statements for the last 2 years to show you that I got some coin. I don't know what to tell you, sir. You think you're living life and then God just like wheels you back. He's like, bitch, just get another Jetta. You and I both know you love it. You skeet, skeet, scoot, scoot around town. Just get another Jetta. Don't try and be something you're not, bitch. Just get a fucking Jetta. Go down there, buy with cash, then take it to a chop shop, have them fast and fucking furious that shit and start doing, you know, Tokyo drifts around your mom's gated community and be like, suck of my dick, everybody. I got cash to buy the car. And also my credit's good. It's not perfect. The problem is I closed 3 credit cards last year. Swear to God, I did because I had like this card that had like no limit. It was like my student, you know, card from like college. And I streamlined. Once I started cooking with gas, I streamlined. And here I am, denied. This shit's so fucking funny to me. It's so funny. And listen, like I said, you know, I know a lot of people are having a tough year this year. That's been my last 5 fucking years. You know, 2019, we started getting a little momentum. So God, I was in a dark place. And then God set me up. He said, okay, let's go. You've done your time. I'm an independent woman. I want to be able to go say, I want that one. I want it black with the white interior, the fucking souped up wheels. And I want to listen to Meg Thee Stallion on blast as I drive through the Chick-fil-A drive-through. That's what I want. Why? Because I've done it. And if I got to deal with Rick telling me yes or no, it's not going to be good. Okay. You know what? Let's stop the negativity. I need to get that positive energy on here. I'm so excited to bring into the studio. She's fantastic. You should listen to her podcast. Be there in 5. Y'all know I got a kitty cat named Delta, and she's just the love of my life. She's pushing 12 years old now, you know, and I got to keep an extra eye on her. You know, we're having to deal with the dog in the house, and she's having to learn how to get along with Rigatoni. But the good thing is she knows that I'm taking extra good care of her because I got her the best litter in the game, and that's Pretty Litter. It's literally litter reinvented. Unlike traditional litter, Pretty Litter's super light crystals trap odor and release moisture, resulting in dry, low-maintenance litter that doesn't smell. If you've ever had a cat, you know there's nothing worse than that kitty litter smell. Here's the thing, it's also virtually dust-free because it's manufactured with a specialized de-dusting process. That's right, less dust and no fuss. Pretty Litter arrives safely at my door in a small, lightweight bag that lasts up to a month, which is so key. There's nothing worse when it's like 10 p.m. at night and you got to run to the pet store because you're freaking out because you don't have any litter. But above all, here's why Pretty Litter is a pet parent's hero. It's a health indicator. Literally, it monitors my cat's health by changing colors when it detects potential underlying issues. There's a guide on the back. So say if her alkalinity's off, if there might be blood in the urine or anything, literally, I know that's a crazy thing, but your pets can't talk to you. So this is a way for me to monitor as the litter changes colors if I need to like
rush her to the vet if something's going on. And you know, I love my kitty girl, my Delta Burke. She's just the light of my life. So I want to give her the best, which is Pretty Litter. Get the world's smartest litter without leaving home by visiting prettylitter.com. Use promo code ABSOLUTELY for 20% off your first order. That's prettylitter.com, promo code ABSOLUTELY for 20% off. prettylitter.com, promo code ABSOLUTELY. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's get some female power in here. Welcome to the podcast, Kate Kennedy. I don't edit my photos. I really don't. I'll put a filter on, but I just physically, the pads of my fingers are too fat. I don't know how to Facetune. One of my girlfriends is like, she's much younger and she's like, send me your photos. I'll do them. I'm like, no, but to me, my audience knows they want the real shit, right? But like more power to anybody who can filter it and not make, you know, the fence behind them look warped. Like good for you. Go with God.
One of the reasons I feel like the Kardashians are little on the outs is because they're very much the type of early 2010s, like fame of aspiration of editing, of photoshopping. I even feel like now the currency is relatability. Like people don't want a pristine photo of you. People relate to you, right, and are engaged if you actually seem like a human. And it'd be more fun if their content wasn't as curated. So I actually think that that's kind of a mistake on her part to not seem more realistic, but I guess she doesn't have like a normal life.
Completely.
Do you follow Addison Rae and her and Courtney's friendship?
So bizarre.
It's so bizarre. They're 20 years apart in age.
Is Addison 18 or is she?
She is 19, actually.
Okay. So she's a legal adult. If she was like 16, I'd be like, there's something weird with the parents there. Like, are they going to kick? Like, what's going on? Yeah. I think the whole relationship is really fucking weird.
To think about her a year ago, she was a student at LSU that was just starting out on TikTok. And then she got so popular in like 2 months' time that she dropped out of LSU and now eats avocado smoothies daily with Kourtney Kardashian. It's like, what a life. What a progression. What a difference a year makes. What a hope for us all.
Literally the hope for us all. And I think about like, if I was like my freshman year in college and somebody approached me to be a star, like I was making curated Facebook, you know, I was walking around the club and I had like my digital camera on the string around my wrist.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and if you lost it, you were fucked. You're like, better hold on to that camera. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And like, forget editing. Not only did you upload every single unedited photo, you even uploaded like the pocket shots, the duplicates. There was no refining of those albums. It all went up. And it was real touch and go when you got an email the next morning that you were tagged in like X number of photos in album Ladies Leave Your Men at Home or like whatever lyric was.
Exactly. Exactly. It was like, can't tell you what happened at the library sports bar, but I'll tell you what happened. Click on these photos. Right. We were actually doing clickbait before it was clickbait. You know what I mean?
100%. It did a segment on my podcast once where people submitted to me their most like problematic Facebook album titles. And like, it was actually hilarious because we just did not get the immortalization of our behavior on the internet at that point. So any song,
exactly,
lyric out of, you know, people going on mission trips, album missionary style. Not totally appropriate,
yeah,
but clever.
No. But also, I see what you did,
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting. I never really got into Twitter just because I, honest to God, I couldn't figure out the format. Like, I couldn't understand how to retweet and tweet. I know it's probably like so simple, but I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And one of the interesting things with like kind of the conspiracy theory world of TikTok is they're trying to drag some of these tweets that people have tweeted about random shit and kind of spin it. And there's some days where I'm like, that makes sense. And then there are other days where I'm like, no, literally these people are nuts. Where do you fall in this like whole conspiracy theory world? Cause I get scared. I'm just scared of the reality of what actually might be happening in our world.
You know, I think the tough part is like there is credibility and a conviction with like Epstein and Ghislaine and these people that is
totally
real. Child trafficking is real. But these issues are agnostic of political parties. That's a human thing, a criminal thing. And it's an issue that transcends your affiliation politically. And when I think people try to align serious issues like trafficking with a political agenda, especially one that's extreme, it's a bit of a problem because not only does it dilute and kind of distract from the problem at hand, it also kind of, it's this weird like division of if you don't support like QAnon, you're for child trafficking. It's like, nobody is freaking,
yes,
for child. Are you kidding?
Yes, that's exactly how I feel. And my thing is, I'm like, listen, if Trump can somehow, if he is on it, if he's on the pulse, if this is all going to come to fruition, if John F. Kennedy Jr. is alive and well, and all this shit's going to pop off, more power to him. You know what I mean? Like, show me, let's go. I'm here to save the children. If they're in the tunnels, if they're near a bridge, like, where are the children? Let's save them. But it does get a little crazy when people are like, if you don't support Trump than you support child trafficking. You're like, that's, I don't know what to say. I just want to see a female empowered in the White House. Well, you know what I mean?
It's right. Like, I'm not asking for much.
I'm not asking for much.
It's so highly offensive to respond to somebody's well-intentioned question or doubt with, you're a pedophile. I mean, it's a little aggressive.
Right.
And I know you get
a little,
you get comments. I mean, I'm sure you get DMs too. Like, I used to sell on Wayfair. I knew, I had a good idea of what was going on when that people thought they were selling kids in storage lockers. And I just tried to explain it just so people weren't scared. Like, if I were a parent, I'd be horrified seeing this stuff. And I mean, people were like, you live too close to me. You're in Chicago. You're clearly involved. Your last name's Kennedy. And I'm just like, wait, I can't get a Nobu reservation. Like, I'm not connected. Like, nobody cares. I'm not part of the deep state.
Yeah, it gets very, it can go to an extreme very quickly when you're like, I just literally am trying to figure out this information along with you. I just found out about this 3 days ago. Like, let me just catch up to speed here. Like, clearly, yeah, if you were a real Kennedy, like a real Kennedy, right, I feel like you'd be spending your summers in Nantucket.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Or I would kick the bucket by now. I'm not related at all, but it's like, that was kind of an interesting lesson to me. And like, how somebody can like take something random about a person and like just blow it out of proportion and out of context, you might believe it. But I'm like, I'm not related. Like, but I get the logic of going there. It's just, yeah, it's interesting. DMs can be an interesting place. But I think that like, for the most part, people are, I think most people that share a lot of the trafficking stuff maybe don't know the depth of what it's associated with. And that's kind of like the point, is trying to kind of like hide the talking points in there. But I think TikTok has like calmed down a bit with like the world's ending vibes that were a little tough amidst COVID.
I don't know if you ever got involved in this, but I literally had such intense night terrors because there were a couple folks on TikTok that were time travelers. And literally one guy would be like, on August 11th, it's going to be a hurricane that's going to wipe out Texas. And literally the comments were like, this guy's for real. He's actually time traveling. And literally I have been, my anxiety has been through the fucking roof. And I literally was getting my nails done yesterday. And I was like, what's today's date? I was like, oh fuck. Okay. August 11th has already passed. We have not had this, just, you know, this horrific, catastrophic hurricane, but it really at 4 a.m., it gets in your mind and you feel like you're going nuts.
Well, yeah. And if you've watched one too many, like on like the History Channel, Nostradamus documentaries, do you know that guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, of course. Nostradamus, my boy. I love him.
He
yeah.
speaks in sweeping metaphors and people are like, he called it. He said two twin brothers would fall, the Twin Towers. And it's like, he said brothers. You know, you can really spin anything into anything these days.
And I know that we've all been, listen, locked up in the house raw. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to make sense of it. I saw something really funny on Instagram. This guy said, good luck, guys. We only have like 5 more months left in the year. And then it was like, oh, but we have the election coming, another round of COVID. Like, it's very hard to find that silver lining and to find that light at the end of the tunnel, thinking we're going to get out of this. It's just on the other side. Like, I need something to look forward to because my anxiety is through the fucking roof. You know, I love a cool, crisp glass of Chardonnay at 5 p.m. every day. But you know what? Sometimes you have a few too many. I've got something that can help you really combat, fight, ward off those next day blues. You know, there's nothing worse when you wake up in a hot sweat, cool sweat, any sweat, brain fog, that anxiety the next day. And I'm talking about DHM Detox. I'm going to let you know how it's helped me. Here's the thing. It's a risk-free purchase. So if you aren't satisfied, they will refund you. DHM Detox is a vitamin for people who like to enjoy alcohol. It's a smart, responsible way to enjoy your booze. Whether you hate that next day awful feeling or just like to enjoy a few drinks here and there, DHM Detox is a must. Enjoy your drinks and forget about the brain fog and all that crappy feeling. This is the science behind it. DHM Detox uses science with a blend of antioxidants and vitamins to help boost your body's natural response and help break down those toxins while you're sipping on your favorite beverage. Just take 2 capsules after your first couple drinks and it goes to work. They come in convenient packs that are easy to share with friends and family. Now it's a key part of my drinking routine. Here's the thing. I've got 20% off for your order and free shipping in the U.S. God, I'm getting so excited. Head over to nodayswasted.co/absolutely and use promo code absolutely at checkout. That's nodayswasted.co/absolutely. Check them out. And hey, send them a message on Instagram. If you got some more questions, they get right back to you. And I'm telling you, you're going to want to have this with your Chardonnay.
Well, and I think the added thing too is like, I feel like in our positions, you're self-employed. Like, you're always trying to like get to a place where you feel like you've accomplish something concrete, even though you're probably raising your own bar because, you know, you're an ambitious person. But and as women, like in our 30s, like time's a thing. And like, I never want time to pass fast. I'm always like fighting time. But now I'm just like, can we just fast forward right on through the rest of this year? Like, I just don't even want it. And I've never, ever felt that way in my life because time's so precious otherwise.
Fully agree with you. And now I'm like, okay, well, if this year's a total fucking wash and I'm not on tour, maybe I'll take November to freeze my eggs. But then I'm like, do I want to be freezing my eggs during the election? Because then you can't drink while you do it. This is what keeps me up at night where I'm like, all right, well, I feel like I need a plan for the future because now all the things I was going to do this year are pushed 2 years later. And then, you know, I may be fucking dried up. Well, maybe dry, no children. You know what I mean? And then on the other end, I go in a deeper spiral where I'm like, fuck, I don't want to have kids because they may end up on Wayfair. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Everywhere you look. What was the theme song of Everywhere You Look? Quick. I was just thinking, I was like, was that Full House?
Full House. Yeah.
Sunnier times. But yeah, everywhere you look, there's a reason to feel, like things are daunting. And even like, sorry, that's Tugboat.
It's okay. I love it.
You mentioned your unruly dog. A podcast is not great for an unruly dog. I'm constantly dealing with this.
Yo, just so you know, we are trying to record this on our, you know, respective recording devices and do it on Zoom. And like, we're halfway through this. I'm like, God damn it. I forgot to hit record on the Zoom camera. It's too fucking hard to do this shit at home. Truly. Like, I'm the kind of person I need to go into a studio. I need full quiet and just like be in the zone and do my fucking thing. My mom does not think I have a real job. She will come into my room, interrupt my podcast. She's like, oh, Heather, you just podcast. I'm like, that's the only thing that's paying our bills. Right. You know,
people don't get that it's an actual job that like people live off of, just like radio.
Yeah.
It's I think it's so closely associated with like a hobby. Yeah. I typically just lie. And I'm like, I mean, there's that TikTok video that's like, I'm an accountant. Nobody asks you questions when you say that you're an accountant. And I relate to that in terms of like, you just don't always feel like explaining. And then people pull it up. They read your reviews. They might play it in front of you. It's awkward.
Oh, very awkward. The funny thing is, since I moved back in with my mom, you know, it's an older demographic in this neighborhood. And whenever I get like reintroduced to a neighbor, they're like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm a comedian. And immediately the dad, who's always named like Daryl. Daryl's always like, hey, tell me something funny. Oh, you're a comedian? Tell me a joke. And I literally just like my soul leaves my body. You know, I'm like, here we go. We got to do this again. So I should say I'm in accounting. You know, I'm an accountant.
Yeah.
I crunch numbers. I do taxes. You know,
nobody asks follow up questions. It. They're just like, oh, stop right there. Like, I need not know more. But if Daryl is like, oh, that girl said she had a podcast down the street. He listens to it. And it's like the episode where you like had the Starbucks coffee issue. Where you just like launch in and it's kind of a funny thing where like one of my really close friends told these women in his office to listen to my podcast. It happened to be an episode where I talked for 90 minutes about dipping sauces. He was like, I didn't realize I was recommending your podcast the week you talked about dipping sauces. It was like a joke. And they were returning customers. It didn't go well. I was like, you know, out of context, it's hard to be funny.
Well, and two, I feel that podcasting is, you know, I say whatever on the internet, but podcasting is just a more intimate, raw, like people who are tuning into this, they know every facet of my life, right? It's just a real place where you can be totally uncensored. And it's interesting as we go through this year, I hope that doesn't change. You know, there's already kind of like a weird conversation of like, what is okay to say on stage as a comedian? And for me, I've always just stayed in my lane. I speak from my point of view, my human experience. I don't talk about like other races or anything because that's I haven't lived through that. You know what I mean? So I've always, I don't want to say not been controversial because of that, but it's interesting in the podcasting space, it's just a real home to say whatever the fuck you want. And I hope that that doesn't change. I hope that this continues to be a place for people just to be really raw and honest with shit. What do you feel? Have you got any feedback on your end?
It's interesting because it's like, yeah, you think back and you're like hours, weeks of me talking about whatever the hell was happening at that time. And who knows what I've learned or how I've evolved since then. And it does, it's a little concerning when people kind of seem to dig into tweets and back catalogs to find things. But like, I really have nothing to hide. You have nothing to hide. I think that when it emerges that there's like issues, I think typically there's like a trend there and it's not a one-off. You know, I think if you have the discretion and know your limits and what you're comfortable talking about as you would with any other human to be a polite person and stay within your boundaries. Right. Like, I think that there was a time I was telling you the other day, I'm like, remember when we were like worried about getting canceled for plastic straws? Like, I was scared then,
yes.
But then Now I'm like, I kind of wish I got it over with back then. And I was in a rebuilding phase now.
It's fucking crazy. I mean, it's interesting. I've been doing these pitches for, you know, trying to sell a show. And at the end of every pitch, I kind of just say like, and also you should buy the show because I'm not a male comedian who's a fucking creep. Like I'm a good person, you know, and a lot of these studio heads laugh at it. And they're like, yeah, you know, I'm like, it's time to give, you know, smart, funny women a platform and to celebrate that. Because look, you let the guys do it for so fucking long and they all ended up being molesters, you know?
Or you give them a platform on The Bachelor, an influencer career. You don't even scroll 2 weeks deep in their tweets to see that they're horrible. It's like, do your due diligence. So I fully support you being like, hi, I'm unproblematic, just a heads, if that makes any difference to you.
I'm sure I've said something stupid in my day. Call me out. Let's have a chit chat about it. My apologies. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Let's get into something more superficial, surface level, because I feel like we need to really bring the joy back into our lives.
I have this problem.
Yeah, no, indeed. It's fine. But you know what? You and I see each other on Instagram and we're both kind of like thinking the same thing. So this is just a real raw conversation of us being able to like peel apart the layers. Like, I'm afraid of QAnon, even though I haven't done anything. I feel like they're going to come for me. You know, you're a big T Swifter fan.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like huge.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. Love the new Folklore album. It just tickles my taint. It's great. It's easy listening. I was never a huge fan of her in the sense of just like I don't go crazy, but I enjoy her
right.
music. You know, I think she's saw the documentary, think she's a lovely woman. Tell me what is so passionate for you about T-Swizzle.
I think historically what I found so interesting about her is she kind of, the way she like markets and the way she would hide things in lyrics, she kind of builds treasure maps that the only remedy for them, the only way to find the secret is more consumption of her product, which is just a brilliant marketing right. move. So if you want to know about her life, you have to listen to the lyrics, you have to dig into them, you have to find the secret messages. It's kind of just smart. And I've always been really interested in her from a marketing standpoint. And I think that she's a really brilliant songwriter in an industry where a lot of people are just kind of the talking head or singing head, if you will, for other people's work. And she takes a lot of pride in it. And she doesn't get enough credit for fighting for artists, which I think is really cool. She's really changed a lot of how people get comped for streaming. And even like, she's a little younger than me, but her music, she came out when I was 19. And every phase of my life, I kind of associate roughly with some of her music. And I almost think the timing of that right. alone has a very sensory attachment on my part, because I hear Love Story, I'm like taken aback to college and being like, oh my God, I hope somebody will ever
love me.
Literally.
See, this is how I feel about Mr. 305 Pitbull. Like when I hear, you know what I mean? Like grab somebody sexy, I'm like, I literally just start weeping. I'm like, this is me in my early days in New York, in a nightclub, on cocaine, living my life. You know what I mean?
It's going down, yelling timber. Pitbull actually is a person too, where if you look up his hits, you like don't realize he's had like 40 number one hits. It's kind of wild.
I went to his concert kind of like as a joke. My best friend bought me the tickets because I always talk about how like, I'm like, I just fucking love Pitbull. I love everything he's about. I love the suits. I love the vibe. I love the Dale. Like I love it all. And then I went to his show and literally you don't realize, you know, every lyric to every fucking song. I was like, God damn, he's a hit maker. Yes. And now I'm fully on board.
Factory.
Like my dream is to meet Pitbull. Yeah. Factory. Hit Factory.
What do you think is the most underrated Pitbull hit?
Well, it's actually not underrated, but Kulo. It, to me, when that comes on, you kind of forget that it's Pitbull, but that when that beat starts to hit, it sparks a joy inside the deepest part of my body. And I can't even describe it. Like I could be at a funeral and they could start playing Kulo and I'm just like jamming through
just
the graveyard.
Misses Worldwide. You know what I mean?
All of a sudden. Misses Worldwide.
I think Go Girl's really underrated. In the grand scheme of things,
yeah.
It's really good. And I just don't hear it often.
I'll see if my producer, Michelle, is listening to this. If we have the rights to it, play a little Go Girl. Okay, so Kate, you've been in Chicago during quarantine. Breakdown, do you have any like big city? Absolutely not. I left New York. You know, I came down south to keep an eye on my mother. But what's life like been in this crazy quarantine 2020 in Chicago?
It's crazy. I have never, ever in my life wanted to live in a suburb, but now I'm just like, I want space. I would love a yard. I'm very triggered by
right.
pools. No offense. Yours is lovely. It just,
That's
it
fine.
Really seems amazing. And I'm happy for people who have found themselves in front of pools. And I've even like been looking, have you heard of Swimply? That company that's an Airbnb of backyard
no.
pools?
Like you rent the pool for the day?
I am like,
that's actually a genius.
They're so expensive for maintenance wise. And apparently this company is doing well. And like, yeah, you rent it, like, well, by the hour. And the key is you got to find someone in the fine print who says you can use their bathroom, because a lot of places don't. And I'm like, what do you expect is going to happen? That's foul.
Yeah. I mean, you're just, you're literally promoting peeing in right. pool if they don't, or a bush. You know right. what I mean? I got to be honest with you. I was never a pool peer. It just grossed me out, even on like swim team. Like, I remember when I was in the thick of swimming and like doing those meets, these like, you know, relay athletes would just pee in the pool. I can't, it's not in me. The ocean, yes. Pool, I can't.
Pool, there's an ethical dilemma there. I mean, really, you right. have to actively decide to do that. And I just don't feel comfortable with people that think that like others should in their own pee, but I guess athletes do it at a function. But yeah, my swim team days were very short-lived, so I don't even remember getting that far into it, because I agree. I was always a little iffy about the pool.
My swim team days were, I wore a racerback Speedo suit that was three sizes too small. And then my mom would always get my heat times mixed up. So I would hit the all-you-can-eat country club buffet, and I'd have like 65 chicken tenders and like three loaded baked potatoes, because that's kind of fat-ass kid I was. And then they'd literally call me over the loudspeaker, Heather, go to block six. You're up for like the 400 butterfly. And I'd be like, motherfucker, I'm going to cramp this whole way. Like, I'd always miss the wrong time and eat before I swam. That's just... that was me living my truth.
Stuff where you have to go off a block when a thing starts, too much for me. That level of anxiety of, I got false starts every single time. I get too excited. Just not the sport for me. My mom, she sent me a gift of like my keepsakes, because she's trying to get my stuff out of the house. All I had of like awards, she's saved a fourth place, like backstroke ribbon. And I'm like, why would you say, it's like sad. It's like my only athletic feat from my childhood. But it's almost poetic to me in that, like, yeah, who cares? I feel like your whole life, people want you to be the best at stuff, but you never stay with anything. So just enjoy it.
I have said this from the beginning. I think one of the reasons I will have success is because my parents at a very early age were like, you fucking suck at X, try Y. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My mom was like, Heather, you're too large to be a gymnast. Let's hit the soccer. And then soccer, it was like, your legs, your thigh chafe is too hot. It's too much. Like, I would literally run down the soccer field and have flames coming out of my fucking legs as a kid because it was too much heat. So, you know, once I figured out like theater and comedy, I just stayed in the lane. I think that's the biggest thing is, as a kid, if you can tell kids, figure out what you're good at a young age and then just fucking go full steam ahead. You know what I mean?
The interesting thing about being an adult, though, is like, I hate working out, but I like sports. And I kind of wish I had like a leisure country club sport to like make gal pals and play tennis or golf or something. Oh, you belong to a country club. I guess they're not probably in operating now.
I'm a great golfer. I'm bad at tennis. Apparently, it's much harder to teach a golfer how to play tennis than the opposite.
Interesting.
Yeah, because in golf, you take a full backswing. But in tennis, it's a very controlled short swing.
Right.
So my tennis coach was like, yeah, it's going to be a long, long road ahead. I was like, fuck you. I was like, all right, Chad, I'll stick with golf.
I just want to gossip. I just feel like the tennis ladies, the USTA people, like they always are like loose-lipped. It's a great time.
Oh, the women on like the Ulta team, I think it's Ulta, they get so fucked up. It's like DUI city. Yeah, I'm here for it. I just want to party.
It's like your HOA. You know, I can't believe the things people say. It's good material.
Oh, it's insane. Now that I've moved into the house and I'm in this gated community, I mean, the fucking hoops you have to jump through to like, you know, change a flower bed is fucking insane. It's insane. Are you in a condo?
Yes.
Okay, so you have to deal with your HOA in your building.
So we rent from an owner of a condo, but...
okay.
But watching the HOA interact is a big reason of why we don't want to own in the city. I think anytime you share walls, it's a real toss-up. And it's a building of people that have lived here 30 plus years. It's an old piano factory. It's got its issues. And people, they're just reassessing thousands of dollars. So like tuck pointing on the brick. It took them a year and a half to decide on lobby furniture that they ultimately took away because it didn't look that good and they never replaced it. I'm just like, I don't have time for this. Like I would lose my mind trying to like negotiate in this way. And I get a kick out of it, like watching other people's sorrows. But I think that if it were my home, I would actually be really frustrated.
One, the fact that, you know, you've put all this money and effort into owning something and you still have to get somebody else's permission to fucking do something.
Right.
You know, that's what's insane. So we want to paint the house. And my mom's like, well, you know, the HOA is going to be upset. They say there's too many white houses in the neighborhood. I said, listen, we're going to tell them that you have full blown dementia. And then you know, the painter showed up and I'll talk to the guy, Rick down the street, like, Rick, you know, Robin's not well. I'm like, Mom, you're in your 70s. Just play dumb, play crazy. Like, if we want to make some aesthetic changes, we're going to do it and blame it on your impeding dementia.
Yeah, just tell Daryl it's part of your comedy bit.
Have you learned anything new about yourself in this year? I feel like it's a really good time when we've been stuck in our homes, deep in that dark place of TikTok, to really then have a reflective moment. Do you feel like you've changed as a person this year?
I mean, beyond my middle part, I feel like, which is like a superficial change, but you know, changing your parts, it's a thing. I've been experimenting because I haven't been going to get highlights. I want to, but I'm not going anywhere and I'm kind of trying to wait. So I do actually, as dumb as it sounds, I actually feel like I'm a lot lower maintenance, which I don't hate.
I love that. I'm on here, no makeup, like sweating through a bra. I'm surprised I put one on. I'm just over it.
Yeah.
But I only have two modes. I either have troll underneath the bridge or full fucking Kardashian glam. There is no like throwing on a cute little thing just to run some errands. I don't have right. Do you have that? Or do you have like a good middle of the road?
I like am a person, I'll put on mascara to go to a CVS. I like a corn jean. People are making fun of me a lot for wearing jeans at home. But like, I think when you work at home for a really long period of time, you realize that sometimes you have to feel like a person to be productive. And I've been working from home for years. And I think people maybe realize that now. But at the beginning, I was getting trolled hard for just trying to like, I don't know, wear a blouse now and again. But at this point, I don't even care. I feel like it's been a good exercise and like, I don't know. I guess I feel grateful that like, I just like spending time with my husband and our life isn't too contingent upon like our social, you know, a lot of times like there's like social couples that are, their life is contingent on their like crew and they just do stuff all the time.
Oh, the fucking cruise.
Yes,
I know all about it. I'm marrying an Italian. You better believe we can't go to dinner without 16 fucking Goombas coming with us.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And oh, yeah, honey.
It's been a good exercise just to be like, oh, this is great. We can coexist nicely. We can live our life. The thing that sucks is I haven't seen my parents, but fingers crossed going in September. But you talked about last week how you felt safe flying. Congrats on Diamond, by the way.
Oh, thank you. A big year for me with that. No, honestly, flying is fantastic. And I know you're based out of Chicago, so it's a big United hub. Who do you fly? Do you have allegiance to any airline?
My ranking is United, Delta, JetBlue are my three, okay, you know, ideals.
I don't know what United is doing for their protocol, but literally like not having somebody in the middle seat. And I just thought Delta has done such an amazing job. And it's also about protecting their employees too. And I, you know, obviously I'm in a hub. I'm in the national hub, Atlanta, Georgia. And I have so many friends that work for Delta, but they're like, we actually feel taken care of. You know,
totally.
Where I have other friends who work for American. And they're like, we're basically being thrown in the goddamn river, you know?
Oh, my sister flew to Chicago for work 2 weeks ago on American. The guy next to her went to the bathroom and smoked a cigarette. There's literally two lights, no smoking. Seatbelt. Like that's the most, not much less in a pandemic. That was reason enough for me. I was like, yeah, I don't know what it is about American. I just feel like it's a free for all.
I can't. It's a free for all. Good luck. Buckle up, grab a bottle, hunker down, pray for daylight. No. Now, have you not seen your parents because you just don't feel comfortable traveling? Or are you protecting them? Like what's been the lag of time for them?
Yeah. Like they live in this really rural area in North Carolina that like has no cases. And I just feel irresponsible being a person coming from like a hub, like a city, but Chicago's in better shape now. So yeah, hopefully I'll go for my birthday. And I mean, I'm excited. My mom's, they stock the fridge. It's glorious. I have chocolate milk. I have like white cheddar popcorn. I mean, they get all the things I liked 20 years ago that like I still find such comfort in.
White cheddar popcorn is my downfall. White cheddar popcorn finger, it actually gets a little thicker.
It's mucus-y.
You know,
it's
like
mucus-y.
Cheeto finger. Yes.
It's hard to get
really
off.
Mucus-y.
Wait, can I ask you a question about when you said Delta earlier, it made me think of, I did a podcast about dress codes, like goofy dress codes for like weddings and parties and stuff. I had so many submissions that were like Mississippi Delta as a dress code. Do you know what that is? Because you went to Ole Miss, right?
Well, okay. Here's the deal. So in the Mississippi Delta, there is like the very reesh, like old farm money. And then on the other end of that, it's like duck hunters and farmers. So we could go either way. But there's a phrase that we say in the South, like suited and booted. You know what I mean? You're going out, you're getting suited and booted. I have a bunch of sorority sisters from the Mississippi Delta. And when I say they, you know, they're putting on the dog when they go out, they look so goddamn over the top. Like that's how I learned how to really like step into my femininity was living at Ole Miss and learning like really how to fuck with a hot
tease
roller.
Your
like,
hair.
There's a technique. The higher the hair, the closer to God. Absolutely. But I don't know. I would need to talk to my girls in the Delta and figure out exactly what they're referencing. But now you were doing a poll essentially saying like what it's like to go to these different parties or a wedding. And what is it, A, to either be themed in dress or to just dress like casually?
Even the most clear Emily post of dress codes, formal, semi-formal, cocktail, whatever, you even look up their definitions and it's like impossible for women because semi-formal, it's like you can go formal or you can go cocktail. And it's like, well, then why is it its own category? Like, and I think it's really uncomfortable to a wedding, especially to show up really over underdressed. And then it kind of spiraled into people being like, oh no, like people make shit up on their wedding invitations to kind of like match the scenery. So it's so much craziness of like, mountain chic, but then it's like, okay, mountain chic can be Aspen or mean? Pigeon Forge. Are we Paltrow or are we Parton? Like, we got to clarify.
Yeah, I could be Appalachian Trail mountain chic. You know what I mean? With some Tevas and some nice cargo pants right. that rip off at the knee. Like, what the fuck do you want? I like when people are specific and not indecisive and like just tell you what they want. I'm supposed to be getting married in September.
I know.
And our... you know, it's a shit show, whatever. But Jeff and I have been to so many fucking weddings over the years. It's always black tie optional. I said, no, fuck this. That's so confusing because you kind of get snubbed if you wear a short, fun dress, you know, or even like something, a high-low dress where it's like a little sexy in the front
right.
and more formal in the back. So I said, fuck it. For our wedding, it's just going to say black tie. And if you show up in a jumper, a onesie, a bikini, I don't give a
that's
shit.
That's on you.
But I want you to know that that's on you. Exactly. Now, you got married in Italy. We've talked about this before, but you got married in Italy. Was it just the best experience ever?
It's just special. It's the difference between an event and an experience. And I think that like we were on the tail end of people getting married. We'd been to a lot of weddings and we were just like, if you want to come, come. You clearly like us a lot. And it kind of filters out to make sure the people that really, really care are there. And beyond that, like, I don't know, wine and service and everything was actually more affordable than Chicago because there wasn't that arbitrary markup.
Just the level of service and what you get over in Europe. I keep telling everyone, quit getting married at your country clubs or that bullshit like banquet hall down the street that you got to spend $600,000 to uplight and add tchotchke bullshit. Just go to a beautiful vineyard in Italy and your real friends will show up. And if they don't, tell them to go fuck themselves and you're already on your honeymoon. Like just, you know, streamline the operation.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like, to me, that's like a fun, I love like making a weekend out of anything. Like I love having multiple right. opportunities for like funny stories and memories. I could not have been more hungover on my wedding day and I wouldn't have it any other way. Cause like, I've just never been so happy in my life to be
really?
Around. Yeah. There's no possible way to be around everyone you've ever loved on Friday and not rage. It's impossible. And when brides go to bed early, I'm like, I just don't even know.
How to go fuck
it.
Yourself.
Right. Cause it's like, these are the two nights you've got. You got to enjoy it.
Right.
Pitbull, give me everything tonight, you know?
Thank you. Live, laugh, friggin' yeah. love in Italy. Yeah. I know we got rescheduled to next summer. We'll see. At this point, like Jeff and I have been together so long and I feel like we've been engaged since January of 2019. We haven't even had an engagement party. At this point, I'm just like, let's just see if it happens. But I feel like I have to start finding things to look forward to. It was too stressful to try and look forward to a September wedding in Italy. Like I was like, they're not going to fucking let us in the country. Let's just reschedule it for next year. But I will say if it gets canceled next year, I will be unwell. Like do a wellness check on me. I will be really fucking unwell.
Of an entire calendar plus year of everything being, your life being put on hold. So everyone's milestones, educations, careers, it's just like, it's too hard to comprehend to the point where you can't catastrophize in that way. You just have to, I almost say like, I am glad I didn't know how long this would last in March, April, May, because right. I would have been worse off. The only positive was like, oh, if we just do this now, it'll be over soon. And now I'm used to it.
Right.
But it is kind of a funny thing where you, when things happen now, you're like, oh, so it will be the worst case scenario. And that's like your right. normal. Like there was a tornado warning here. And I was like, oh, so it will flatten the city. Hunker down. And I'm just like, I feel right. a little bit more peace now with the disappointment, I guess, which is sad to say.
So it's really interesting you say that because I always talk about this when you're going through grief. Two types of people in this world, people who've experienced it and people who haven't. And that's no hate or shade to anybody who hasn't been through something. But when you have gone through something, like when I lost my dad, I was like, oh, nothing could be worse than this. I have lost the one human who I am like so deeply connected with. I have felt that immense torture and grief and just like gut-wrenching where my soul has been, you know, pulled out of my body in the sense where when COVID hit, it's obviously dark times for a lot of people, but it was really interesting to see the reactions of folks who had not lost a parent or a loved one or been through something who haven't been through that trauma. And it was just so interesting. My sister called me and she was like, haven't you noticed everyone's freaking out? And she's like, do you feel oddly cool? I was like, yeah, because we've already been through a level of trauma.
Right.
All my friends who've been through some heavy shit recently are like, oh yeah, we've been through it. I feel it. All right. We're along for the ride. Like, you just kind of buckle up and you're like, let's see what the fuck happens.
Absolutely. And no, I think that's an important thing to like even point out for people to be aware of, because even the nature of your job, you have a level of tolerance for ambiguity, right? A lot of people right. know every step and everything that's going to happen for the next amount of time. Like, I don't have that luxury. You don't have that luxury. So even I had a level of comfort that I feel like people around me didn't have, even just from being like,
well, our 9-to-5ers.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. The grief piece, absolutely. It's like when this is like happening and you made like a fight or flight decision, you're like, I'm going, like I'm getting out. And I think that was really interesting, like an intuitive of you to be like, I want to be with my mom. I'm going to get out of here. I'm not going to ride this out. Because had you done that, you would have been stuck in New York.
Oh, you know what's crazy too? I sometimes will get DMs when people are like, you fled the city. Like as if I'm Governor Cuomo and my job was to keep an eye on New York. I was like, no, I have an older mother who lives alone in Atlanta that your girl had to go keep an eye on. You know what I'm saying?
And you stayed at your neighbor's house that was like my yes. ideal suburban woman's home with all the amenities and like oats and labeled canisters.
So oh, many oats.
I yeah. love the oats.
We did it obviously the smart way, but it was just really wild when some woman was like, you've abandoned New York. I was like, it wasn't mine to begin with. What the fuck are you talking about? It's not like I was a cardiologist and I was like, I can't handle this. Let's go. I was like, no, shit's about to hit the fan. I've been there. I got to make sure my mom's taken care of. I'm going to go to Atlanta and keep an eye on her. There's a level too, I think, this year with like this COVID shaming in the sense. Like the other day I had a mask on and some woman said that my mask wasn't enough. I was like, ma'am, I am doing my part to wear a mask to protect myself, to protect others. And this woman was upset that I didn't have like a full N95. I said, where the fuck are you getting these?
In person or DM?
DM. And I was like, ma'am, I don't know what to tell you. I really think this year has turned people into either an expert, an asshole, or an alcoholic. Those three things. You know what's interesting though? Speaking of like the Addison Rae hanging out with Courtney, I've realized this, and again, more power to Kylie, but her friend Stassi Baby. Do you know Stassi Baby?
Oh, I know Stassi Baby.
Dude, I went on a fucking 3-hour deep dive about how Stassi Baby and Kylie are clearly get BFF. Like, you know, you used to get the charm bracelet with the heart right. that would split apart and say like BFF and one other friend would have forever. They go to the same plastic surgeon. And I was thinking about the immense pressure to be Kylie's friend because all of her friends had the exact same body. If your friends went in for like a group plastic surgery, would you be in? How do you feel about it?
That's such an existential question of like, like maybe. I think that your reference group really does impact the way you perceive yourself, the way you perceive yourself relevant to society. And especially in the context of Jordan Woods getting exiled.
Oh, that was dramatic.
For wronging her. And, you know, according to Red Table Talk, what was innocuous to her, according to the Kardashians, was very deliberate. Khloe's back with Tristan. Where the hell is Jordan? I think that Stassi Baby...
Where the hell is Jordan?
Yeah, Stassi yep. Baby is on thin ice at all times. And she knows if she is like not keeping up with the Jenners. Because I think that the Brazilian butt lift, that's a fat transfer, right? It's like from the
that
butt
is.
To the ass.
Yeah, you suck all the fat out of your tummy and all the other places you put it in your ass. And that's why when Kim got the x-ray, of course she didn't have implants because it's her own fat. You see what they did there. It is what it is.
And people weren't really aware of that procedure at that time because we were like butt implants. We weren't as aware of like procedural things. If that's what you see all the time and that's your standard of beauty, I can see you wanting to alter that over time. And then if somebody offers to pay for it, like, what am I going to do?
I was just with my Pi Kappa Pasta girls and I literally, and they're all stunning, gorgeous babes, but we were laughing. I looked around, I go, guys, there isn't one of us that has the most banging bod ever that we would be like, we're all going to go in and get her body. You know what I mean? We were like, we're all just like trying to make it and like keep our head above water.
Live your life. One tiny rib cage ruins a whole bunch.
Yeah, no fucking shit. Well, our friend Carrie, she's a doctor. She does have like the most ripped abs. I was like, okay, Carrie's like out of the whole group, we could probably take Carrie in and like maybe all use her as an example of what we want to look like. But yeah, the pressure to have plastic surgery to hang out with Kylie. I mean, but then again, I'm like, but if she's paying for it, I'm like, I'm all in. Just fucking suck the fat out, put it wherever.
Oh, totally.
You know, I don't care.
Do you ever think about that though? If you have super famous friends, like who pays for what and how, at what point is it weird? Like when people just have FU money and like, to them, you know, your dinner at Mr. Chow is there, like, you know, they make that in 5 minutes. It's like, at what point do you offer to pay, even though it would like really make a dent to you, but not to them, and not take advantage? I always think, like, do they Venmo? Does Corey Gamble pay for a thing? I don't know.
Does Corey fucking pay for a
There's
thing?
There's no way.
And that's the tea right there. That's the real question. Yeah, I don't know. I've been out with like professional athletes and they always pick up the tab, but I do know that they have like a $40 million signing bonus. You know,
right. So
like,
yeah, don't feel
I've had
bad
mild
about
success.
That.
Well, my thing is like if they're the one who picks a restaurant, if you want to go to Nobu Malibu and you're a professional athlete and you order seven literal like boats full of sashimi, I can't keep up with you. You're paying for fucking dinner.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Have you been to Nobu Malibu?
I did. And I've only been there once and it was for this party. So I didn't have to pay anything.
Ugh,
but
God
I
bless.
Heard if you go there on your own, you leave hungry. You spend like $10,000 and you leave so hungry.
I think Scott Disick sleeps in the basement. Like he and Sophia Richie are always there. No, I want to go so badly. But the joke is Chicago is the most accessible market. I should be like, you know, Chicago Soho House. It's just a different vibe here. It's a little lower barrier to entry. I cannot get a reservation at Nobu Chicago for the life of me. And
really?
No.
Okay. If anybody's listening, Nobu, if you hear us, we would really like a little
help. That's the whole
help.
Point of all
You know, it's so funny. They're building a Nobu hotel here in Atlanta. So we're going to get the hotel and obviously the restaurant. And we have this really great sushi place called Umi that's like very high-end sushi. It's like the best spot. And everybody in Atlanta, I literally heard a woman at my mom's country club go, Nobu, what the hell do we need with the Nobu? All these assholes from LA think this so fucking cool. Hell, we got Umi sushi. And I'm like, these old ladies are just like, not impressed with the Nobu Malibu.
They do not
so
get it.
So fucking funny. They do not get it. They don't get it. I'm like, I'm here for the, you know, spicy tuna, crispy rice. I'm just saying.
Why everyone doesn't sell crispy rice is just like one of the questions I'll forever
Beyond
be asking
me.
Myself.
Well, I'll let you get out of here, but I want to hear if you have any absolutely nots for the year and any last absolute yeses. Anything positive for us to look forward to and anything that you're just like, guys, moving forward, we got to change our ways.
Conversation about TikTok. I really have a triggering issue with that like dance move that's so popular. That's that where you artificially hold a mop and move it. And it's just everywhere right now. And it's in, but Cardi B then comes out with a song that has like bucket and a mop. And now it's just like taking off next level. So that's just like a small, absolutely not for me. It's like these, you're a trained dancer
that.
And you're grabbing a fake mop and like Cinderella. Like what? Do we have nothing better to do
right.
dance-wise? I think that would be my one absolutely not. An absolutely yes for me would be like, have you watched Love on the Spectrum?
Oh, my favorite show ever. It's the best.
It really points out that like how we're all doing it wrong in terms of the smoke and mirrors of dishonesty in the name of politeness. If you're not interested, just tell someone. Don't go someone. Watching it has been like a really interesting exercise.
On the show, if you haven't seen it, guys, if you're listening, they basically say like, all right, you know, with autism, sometimes you don't have a filter. Right. And it's just, but they're just very straightforward. It's like, you know, Kate loves Chinese food and to go dancing, hates the sound of dogs barking and nails on a chalkboard. And you're like, you just know going into it, your likes and dislikes. And then, you know, this guy, Mike, who's just so endearing to me, he sits down on the first date and he's like, I like anime and chicken genders. What's up? And they're like, that's it. Be my girlfriend. Be my boyfriend. God, can you only imagine if we had that level of honesty when we were in our early years of dating? It'd be amazing. Where would we be now? You know,
I'm just trying to find like small moments of joy, whether it's a glass of wine, a crispy rice, peak of hope at a Nobu reservation, a giggle listening to your podcast, whatever it may be.
I love that. And listen, we're going to get through this year. We're almost to the other side. Kate, where can everybody find you? What should they be tuning into these days?
Yes, you can find me at Be There in Five on Instagram, FIVE, not the number five. My podcast is Be There in Five as well. And yeah. That's pretty much it.
And just like, you know, supporting the T-Swift of it all and, you know, breaking down those conspiracy theories on TikTok. Kate, thanks so much for coming on. I love and adore you. I love following you on Instagram. And hey, we're living our best life. We're getting through 2020. You're the best.
A couple of blonde gals talking to ourselves. I love you. Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Kate, for coming on the podcast. As always, you can like, click, subscribe me, however you do that, you know. Click on the button. What do you want me to tell you to do? I can't hold your hand through life. JK, love you, mean it. Call into the hotline, the absolutely not line. You know, I want to hear your calls. Let me know what's going on with you. Let me know if you're, you know, you've had an interesting run-in with some gentlemen. Let me know if you're a T-Swift fan. I don't care. Just update me on your life. I love each and every one of you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being the best, and I'll see you next week. Ciao.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. And as always, follow me on Instagram at Heather K. McMahon. See you guys soon.